It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As we study the book of Ephesians, was written to a local church, and this local church received this letter from Paul the Apostle, and that's what this was as it was written. This was an epistle, a letter to a local church. Now, God used Paul the Apostle to pen down the words, and Paul the Apostle possibly had a what we would call a penman. He would have a scribe, possibly, that would pen down the words that Paul the Apostle would give. And these words are actually those words that God would want us to hear today, to follow along in His Word and to hear it taught as Paul the Apostle, as God would want us to know these things, as Paul the Apostle had these written down, or he wrote them down. Well, now as we look into the Word of God in the book of Ephesians, remember, the book of Ephesians was written to a local church. And if you do not belong to a local church, you need to belong to a local church. Now, that is if you're saved, if you're born again. Do not go to a local church joining it thinking that's going to save you and take you to heaven. That's not the way it works. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and He's the one that we trust for our salvation. You can't buy your way in. You can't give money in order to go to heaven. You can't be baptized to go to heaven, and that's according to the Word of God. There's only one way, and that is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You accept what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary when He shed His blood for everyone in this world. It's sad that everyone will not be saved and go to heaven because they refuse to accept what Jesus did for them on the cross of Calvary. Well, we pick our study up today in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'd like to read once again Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, where it says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Now, the last time we spoke about lying, and we who are saved have no excuse when it comes to lying, because we know the truth, Jesus Christ. We are to stand up for the truth, not lies, in our personal life, outside and inside the local church. Now, spreading gossip, and this would be lies, within the local congregation causes dissension among the members. And members many times find themselves choosing sides because someone spreads lies and gossip about another individual within the congregation, and sometimes about someone outside the congregation. Well, we certainly do not want to be classified as a liar, because when we are recognized as siding with the Pharisees of Jesus' day. Jesus told the Pharisees just how serious lying was in John chapter 8 and verse 44, where He said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, we as saved people do not have the devil as our father, but when someone points a finger at us and recognizes us as a liar, it doesn't mean we are lost and on our way to hell, but rather people see us as no different from the unsaved person who lies, as does the devil. We are aligning ourselves with the devil if we are not constantly telling the truth. And frankly, there's no excuse not to tell the truth. We must, especially as saved people, tell the truth. Now notice once again in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25 where it says, "Wherefore, putting away lying," that means get rid of it. Don't even think about it. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." Notice the word neighbor there. Neighbors. Now we are to speak truths to our neighbors who would be, and this would be everyone we come into contact with. It not only means the people who live around us, but our neighbors would be everyone to whom we come into contact with. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." Do not cut corners when it comes to explaining and telling other people about how to go to heaven. Do not cut corners or fail to tell the whole truth about a person who does not trust Jesus Christ as Savior, how that person will die one day and go to hell. Do not cut corners. Tell it like it is, according to the truth, the Word of God. Well, neighbors, now look at that word members in that verse. It says that we are members. Let me read it all together. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Well, members, we are members of the body of Christ, and therefore we are to be truthful with each other. And otherwise, the work of God in the local church will be hindered. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, it says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one another, one of another. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We are not to cause dissension by lying in the local church. And let me remind you that gossip would be a lie, because it's something that we're not sure of. It may be the truth as far as someone saying, well, this happened, that happened. It may be the truth. But when we repeat something that we're not sure of, in a sense, I believe that's lying, because we don't know for a fact that something is the truth, and we should not tell it like the truth. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. So we're all members of the body of Christ, and therefore we need to act like it and be like one person, one body. Why is it so important for members of a local congregation to work together in harmony of the Spirit? Why are members of the local church to walk in uprightness wherever they are? And why are members to walk in truth? Why are we, people of God, to listen to Him, to God, and do right until the stars fall? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25 tells us why. It says this, that there should be no schism in the body, no divisions, in other words, but that the members should have the same care one for another. We need to care for each other, and we need to be sure that we're telling the truth everywhere we go and whatever we do, whatever we're doing, especially when we're speaking to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now let's look at verse 26 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, be ye angry, and sin not, but let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Well, that seems to be a contradiction on the surface, but there is no contradictions in the Word of God. I'm going to read that again. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Well, notice there it says, be ye angry and sin not. Now, whether or not the apostle had in his eye a part of the fourth psalm, as it is written, Psalm 4:4 says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Well, the words be ye angry used by Paul is sometimes considered by some to mean to tremble. It's also seen by some as to either be agitated by anger or to tremble. And the word sometimes signifies to strive or quarrel. Many times we see that within a local church and even within families as such. And one writer has said this. He said, there are three faults by which we offend God in being angry. The first is when our anger arises from slight causes, and often from no cause whatsoever, or whatever, or at least from private injuries or offenses. The second is when we go beyond the proper bounds and are hurried into intemperate excesses. And the third is when our anger, which ought to have been directed against ourselves or against sins, is turned against our brethren. That's the third thing that this person is speaking about. And he goes on to say, most appropriately, therefore, did Paul, when he wished to describe the proper limitation of anger, employ the well-known passage, "Be ye angry and sin not." We comply with this injunction, the person, this writer says, if the objects of our anger are sought, not in others, but in ourselves. If we pour out our indignation against our own faults. End of quote. Many times we see that, you know, we're wrong about something, and we start blaming other people. Well, we need to look inside of ourselves and find out what's really going on. And when it comes to others, we ought to be angry at their faults, not at them. When it comes to someone offending us personally, we should not be angry at the person, but at whatever has offended us. Now, we should not let anger of any kind for any reason last for an unreasonable time, but allow it, and that's the anger, to settle down without giving in to a fleshly desire of retaliating against a person. Notice that verse says, "Let not the sun go down." Well, God encourages us, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Let us do our best before sunset, in other words, to make an effort to let anger go. Now, we have such a strong tendency sometimes to give in to shocking, sinful passions of getting even with something or someone that has angered us, that we forget righteous anger is that anger of being angry at sin instead of being angry at the sinner. And we need to quickly, as soon as possible, control our anger and not let it get stronger by allowing it to continue for a prolonged period of time. This is what God's saying to us in this verse. And God encourages us, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." But let us endeavor to be appeased. In other words, to get over it before the sun has set. Now, we may look at that a little further in the rest of our study here. And in fact, let me read verse 27 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "Neither give place to the devil." Now, we're going to look at some ways that the devil hinders people, and we're going to look and see possibly some of the results of the devil hindering people. But one of the ways, and I'll tell you this, one of the ways the devil will use a person is having that person to cause trouble within the local church. So many local churches have been, the term is split. So many local churches have been split because of dissension within the local body of Christ there. But we need to remember that we're all one body. We're all part of that one body. And when one part of that body hurts, it hurts the whole body. So I pray that you are a person who is saved, first of all, and I pray that you are a person who does not cause dissension within a local church, but that you are praying for your pastor, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you're praying for souls to be saved, to come into the local congregation so that they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and more so that they have eternal life and they're on their way to heaven. And one day you're going to see them because of your faithfulness. That is, if you are faithful to the Lord. And I'm praying for you that God will use you for His honor and His glory. May the Lord bless you richly is my prayer.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.